Gaudi.
Siddhanta Sarsati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prema Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Sri Siddhartha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kundradha Kundi Gurutan ki jai. Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Nabadeep Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamana Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveda the Bhakta Brindaki. Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Krishna, yeah, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhulila Chapter 1, Text 96. Pate,
Pate
Nana,
Nana
Lila,
Lila
Rasha
Deva,
Deva
Darshan
Madhava
Kurir
Kurta
Gopal
Sthapan. Pate Nana Lila Rasa Deva Darshan Madhava Purir Kata Gopal Sthapan. Pate Nana Lila Rasa Deva Darshan. Madhava Purir Kata Gopal Sthapan.
Madhava Purir Kata.
Mate nana lila rasa deva darshan.
Madhava purir kata gopala sthapan.
Madhava purir kata gopala sthapan.
Mate nana lila rasa deva darshan.
Mate nana lila rasa deva darshan.
Madhava purir kata gopala sthapan.
Madhava purir kata gopala sthapan.
Transcendental pastimes.
Deva
Darshan,
visiting the temples.
Madhava Purir, of Madhavendra Puri. Kata, incidents. Gopal, of Gopal. Sthapan, the installation. On the way toward Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed many other pastimes. He visited various temples and heard the story about Madhavendra Puri and the installation of Gopal. Purport. This Madhava Puri is Madhavendra Puri. Another Madhava Puri is Madhavacharya, who was the spiritual master of a devotee in the line of Gadadhar Pandit, and who wrote a book known as Sri Mangal Bhashya. Madhavacharya, however, is different from Madhavendra Puri, who is mentioned in this verse. Om Agyanatimirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurn Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Putale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadhati Svapadantikam Bandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Stam Sativam Sadvaitam Sabhatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Shad Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shanago Rangi Radhe Vrindavaneshari Prishabhanam Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kopataru Vyascha Kripasindho Vyayevacha Patitam Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasani Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Pate Nana Lila Rasha, Deva Darshan. Madhava Purir Kata Gopal Shtabham. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is traveling south from Mayapur to Jagannath Puri, and Lila Rasha, he's performing various nectarian pastimes as he goes along. The Kaviraj Goswami says there's so many pastimes that they can't all be described. Every day, throughout the day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing something wonderful, and it can't all be described. Some of these pastimes will be described later in the book, but for now, it's summarized. Nana Lila Rasha, so many different pastimes. And Deva Darshan, the Lord went to different temples to have darshan of the deity. That means he's having darshan of himself. But because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but because he's in the role of a devotee, he's performing this pastime, sometimes seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sometimes seeing the empowered portions of the Lord, like Lord Shiva. Deva darshan. Krishna did this also. Balaram also did this, visiting different holy places just to establish the importance of visiting the temple of the Lord and having darshan of the deity. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way established or reinforced the importance of these temples and holy places. Madhava Purir Kata Gopal Stapan. Along the way, he also heard about Madhavendra Puri,
and his wonderful standard of devotional service. And in that connection, he heard about the installation of the Gopal deity. The Gopal deity was established originally by Brajna, the grandson of Lord Krishna, in Sri Vrindavan Tham. But at a certain point, to protect the deity during an invasion by the Muslims, the priests hid the deity, burying him in a hidden place. And Madhavendra Puri had some dream and came to understand that Gopal is buried there and wants to be excavated. So he called the villagers and directed them to the place, and they found the deity and excavated the deity of the Lord. And under the direction of Madhavendra Puri, they re-established the worship of the deity, especially by performing the Annakut ceremony, or Govardhan Puja ceremony, offering so many different things to the Lord. This was all done under the direction of Madhavendra Puri. Then Madhavendra Puri also, Gopal also directed Madhavendra Puri that I've been buried under there for so long, my body is feeling some fever, some heat, so I need some sandalwood pulp and camphor to cool me down. You can get that in Puri. You can get that in Puri. Puri Vrindavan. I think he's directed him to Vrindavan. You get that camphor there, sandalwood pulp there. So Madhavendra Puri was, he was in Vrindavan, so he was going to Puri to get that. Correct. The deities in Vrindavan and telling him that you go to Puri and you'll bring back this sandalwood. But along the way, Madhavendra Puri came to Remuna, and there the sandalwood pulp and camphor were offered to the deity there, who told him that you give it to me here and that will be as good as you put it on my body here, I'll be cool over there. To save Madhavendra Puri from the trouble of hauling that sandalwood and camphor back to Vrindavan, and it was valuable, and so many thieves were there along the way. So the deity directed him, you do this. Kshira Churi Kata Sakshi Gopal Vivaran Nitananda Koilo Prabhur Danda Manjan. From Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the story of Kshira Churi Gopinath and of the witness Gopal. Then Nityananda Prabhu broke the sannyas rod belonging to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Purport. This Kshira Churi Gopinath is situated in Remuna, about 4 miles away from the Balashore station on the Northeastern Railway, formerly known as the Bengal Mayapur Railway. This station is situated a few miles away from the famous Kargpur Junction station. Some time ago, the charge of the temple was given to Sham Sundar Adhikari from Gopi Balapur, which lies on the border of the district of Midnapur. Shyamasundaradhikari was a descendant of Rasikananda Murari, the chief disciple of Shyamanand Goswami. A few miles before the Jagannath Puri station is a small station called Sakshi Gopal. Near this station is a village named Satyavadi, where the temple of Sakshi Gopal is situated. So, the so Chirchur Gopinath, Ramana temple is there, as described. And there the Lord, the deity, Gopinath, performed the pastime of stealing some kshir for Madhavendra Puri. The history was that Madhavendra Puri was very renounced. He wouldn't eat unless somebody gave him something to eat. He wouldn't beg even. Sannyasis typically go begging. Madhavi, give up chapati, give something. Sir, give something. But he wouldn't beg even. Just if some prasadam was given to him, he would accept it. So while he was in Remuna, chanting Hare Krishna, he happened to see the offering being made, and he came to know that there's a special kind of sweet kshir which is offered here to the deity, and so now that's being offered. And he thought that, I wonder what kind of how that tastes, and what the recipe is. I could make it for my deity. But then he thought that I'm committing an offense because I'm thinking about the taste of this preparation which hasn't yet been offered to the Lord. So it's sense gratification. I'm thinking about my own enjoyment before the Lord has even enjoyed this. So he felt very bad and went away from the temple. He was someplace, marketplace, somewhere chanting. And that night, the pujari had a dream. And the Lord appeared to him in that dream. The deity appeared in the dream and said that, I've hidden some of this fear for a devotee, Madhavendra Puri. You'll find it hidden in such and such place. So you recover that fear, and you go find Madhavendra Puri and tell him that I've kept his sweet rice for him. So the pujari woke up and took his bath and entered the deity room, and he saw that behind the cloth of the deity, one pot of this kshir was kept. So he understood that the dream was true, and he went out to the marketplace calling Madhavendra Puri. If there's someone here, Madhavendra Puri, you're the most fortunate person. The Gopinath has kept this cure for you. So Madhavendra Puri accepted the cure as the mercy of Gopinath, and then he immediately took off. Took off means left, not that like around here. He took off, he left the place, because he thought that the word will get around very quickly and everybody will want to come and touch my feet and ask for ashirvads and glorify me and fuss over me. So before that happens, let me leave. So he did that. But the deity became very famous as Chirchur Gopinath, the deity of the Lord who stole the sweet rice mixture for his devotee. Still that temple is there in the Ramuna district. The people are very nice there, and the same kheer is being offered to the deity still. And the one feature of that temple is that the deity is bathed in public view in the morning. You can visit and see the bathing of the deity. And the pujaris are very friendly devotees. Further south is another temple the Lord visited called Sakshi Gopa. There also he heard the history of the deity. There was some Brahmin who was on pilgrimage, old elderly Brahmin, who was on pilgrimage in Vrindavan, and he met a young Brahmin who was from a poor family, but of a good character. He helped this elderly Brahmin in going around to the different holy places and taking darshan of the deity and every all the affairs of pilgrimage. This young Brahmin helped the elderly Brahmin. This is culture, that we respect the elderly persons, and we, especially Brahmins, but elderly persons, and we try to help them and make their give them comfort and respect. So the young Brahmin helped the elderly Brahmin, and the elderly Brahmin felt very much indebted. Felt very much indebted, and thought that I want to do something. He said, I'd like to do something for you. And the young Brahmin said, you don't have to do anything for me. I was just doing my duty. I'm not entitled to any payment for that. It's my duty to serve you. The Brahmin said, no, I want to do something for you. I have a daughter who's an eligible girl for marriage, and I'd like to offer you this girl in marriage. So the young Brahmin said, you'd better not give that offer, because you're coming from a higher class, more aristocratic family. Your money is there. I'm coming from a very poor family. So even if you think that you want to do this, your family members won't agree. They won't go along with it. So better that you not offer that. And the Brahmin said, no, I want to. She's my daughter, and it's up to me to decide to whom to offer this girl in marriage. And I promise now before the deity that I'll do this. This is very serious business. Suppose someone says that I'll do such and such, I promise to pay you, I promise to do such and such thing. We can ask him, will you say that in front of the deity? Just as in court they say, will you swear on the Bible? Of course, now anyone will swear any damn thing on any book in the world. But the idea is that if you've got your hand on the Bible, then you can't lie. It's very sinful. So similarly, with the Lord as witness, if we lie, then it's very serious business, and no honorable person, even a dishonorable person, would hesitate to lie before the deity. Srila Prabhupada emphasized, for example, that when we take vows of initiation, we're bowing before the deity and before the fire in which the Lord is present and before the assembly of Vaishnavas. So when we take a vow like that in an assembly of the Lord's representatives and before the Lord himself, that's a very serious vow. Actually, any vow is serious. If an honorable person makes a vow, he's bound to that vow. Just like Bhishma Dev, he wanted to get one fisherman's daughter as the wife for his father. His father fell in love with Satyavati, who happened to be the daughter of a fisherman. And the king approached, Shantanu Maharaj, approached the fisherman that, "I've fallen in love with your daughter, and I'm the king of Hastinapur, and I'd like you to kindly offer me your daughter for marriage." So the fisherman said that, "Yes, I'm happy to offer my daughter in marriage. But one thing is that her son has to be the king. Her son has to be the king." So then Shantanu Maharaj was very discouraged, because "I already have my eldest son, Bhishma, who's the crown prince. So I can't bypass him. It's his right to be the king. So I can't make you this promise. I'm sorry." But the fisherman insisted, so Shantanu Maharaj went away disappointed. Then Bhishma Dev came to see that his father is discouraged about something. And he found out what it was, that his father wanted to marry this fisherman's daughter. But the father is putting this condition. And the king won't give in to that. Dishonorable. So the Bhishma Dev himself approached this fisherman. "Why are you not giving my father your daughter?" I'm willing, but this is the condition. Her son has to be the king. Your father has placed you as the king, crown prince, so it's no deal." Then Bhishma Dev gave an oath. He promised, "No, then I'll not accept the throne. Her son can take the throne. I renounce my right to the kingdom." Then the fisherman said, "Well, that's all right. You may renounce your right. But then your sons will come and claim that, no, it's our right. And her sons will be deprived." So then Bhishma said, "Then I promise that I'll not marry. There'll be no sons. My whole life I'll remain brahmachari." And then he did it. He didn't promise before the Lord, he promised before a fisherman. Promise before a fisherman. But it was a promise. And his whole life he kept that promise. Even his guru, Parshuram, there were some girls who wanted to marry Bhishma, or actually, anyway, that's a long story. So they complained to Parshuram that your disciple has taken us from our father, and he's refusing to marry us. So you set him straight. So Parshuram ordered Bhishma Dev, "No, you have to marry these girls." Bhishma Dev refused. "No, I've taken an oath." So there was some fight, and Bhishma Dev came out successful and kept his vow, for which he's still honored throughout the world. So a respectable person who makes a promise is duty-bound by that promise. Dasarath Maharaj, he promised his wife, "Yes, you take two boons from me. All right, you take them later, but you're entitled. So he was forced, he had to exile Ramchandra to the forest and accept Bharat as the king. Although it cost him his life. He was so miserable that he died over it, but he kept his vow. Maharaj Shivi promised a pigeon, promised an eagle. The year after this pigeon, I'm giving protection to this pigeon. He promised the pigeon, I'll protect you. And the eagle said, you're protecting him, but you're depriving me of my food. The king said, then I'll provide food even by taking flesh from my own body in proportion to the pigeon's weight, equal to the pigeon's weight. So the eagle said, okay, they put the pigeon on the scale, and the pigeon kept getting heavier and heavier. As much as they put on the other side of the scale, the pigeon was still heavy. And then the king said, all right, I'll put my whole body on the scale. I'll give my whole body for this pigeon. He didn't say, well, it's a pigeon. No, I've promised. You may be a pigeon, whatever he is. I've given my word. I can't go back on my word. Then the pigeon and eagle revealed themselves that they were two demigods, and they were testing him, so the king was blessed. But he refused to break his vow, even at the cost of his life. Even Bali Maharaj, who was a demon, promised Vamandev that I'll give you whatever you ask. And again, his guru said, no. He's Vishnu, he'll take everything. Don't give him. He's asking 3 paces of land, he'll take the 3 worlds. Don't give him anything. And Bali Maharaj said, no, I promise. The earth can bear any amount of weight, but earth herself aside can't bear the weight of a liar. Shukracharya said, his guru said, you can, but technically you didn't promise, you didn't say om. So you have an out that way, and he gave a couple of more excuses that you can technically fine print between the lines. You didn't really promise. Bali Maharaj said, no, I promised, I gave my word. And he gave everything to Vamandev. Well, this is honor, this is integrity. Not that I make a promise and then later I come and say, well, technically, or I was forced, or somebody pushed me, or I was being browbeaten by this person, or I thought, or you have to understand. None of that baloney. That's for dishonorable men. For men whose word is worth nothing. For men who keep their word when it's convenient for them and go back on their word when it's inconvenient or when other considerations come to them. An honorable man keeps his word. He doesn't look for excuses. When the person to whom he's promised says, you made a promise, now it's time to deliver. He doesn't. What kind of person are you asking me to do that? Have you no mercy? Have you no heart? How can you expect me? No. Yes, sir, I promise. I'm as good as my word. If your word is no good, you're no good. Vasudev, he promised that I'll bring all of these sons to you for action. You do with them as you see fit. And Kamsa killed every one of them. Still, Vasudev kept coming back. Yes, here's the next one. Kamsa knew that Vasudev, I can trust him because he keeps his word. Of course, when it came to Krishna, then Vasudev broke his word. That was extraordinary. That even such a person as Vasudev, for the satisfaction of Krishna, can break his word. Yudhisthira Maharaj told a lie for the satisfaction of Krishna. But that doesn't mean that, listen, everything I'm doing is devotional service. It's all for Krishna. So I'll lie, I'll break my word, I'll cheat right and left. I'll do it. It's for Krishna, after all. This is transcendental. No. Then we become known as dishonorable persons, that the devotees of Krishna have no integrity. Whatever they promise, they'll just say, oh yeah, but this is for Krishna. No. Arjuna, he promised the Brahmin, I'll protect your sons or I'll enter fire. He failed. His sons were taken away. And Arjuna was helpless. So he agreed, yes, now I have to enter the fire. Okay. Then Krishna said, well, we can still look a few more places. Don't kill yourself yet. So Arjuna agreed, and they found all the joys and disappeared. But he didn't look for excuses. Like, no. Even there was some promise earlier that some agreement that whoever, when one husband is with Draupadi, no other husband can enter the tent. Otherwise, he has to go away some period of time. How long? Some period, anyway. So there was some emergency. Some cows were being stolen, something like that. So Arjuna rushed into the tent to get his weapons. And then rushed out with the weapons and did the needful. And then he said, well, now I have to go. Yudhisthira said, well, this is an emergency, and it was not. No, I promised I have to go. So that's the difference. An honorable person, his word is supreme. His word is unbreakable. I gave my word. Doesn't matter how painful it is for me. Doesn't matter what the consequences. I gave my word. I have to live by it. And a dishonorable person, well, there were extenuating circumstances and this, that, and the other thing, and you can't really expect. That's the difference between honor and dishonor, between integrity and lack of integrity. So the Brahmin made a promise before the deity. These other great persons, they just promise, period. And still they felt, I have to keep my word. And this Brahmin gave a promise before the deity. So then the younger Brahmin took it, yes, he's promised before the deity. So, and he told the deity that, sir, you're my witness that this elderly Brahmin is promising me this thing in front of you. So you're the witness. So then the two Brahmins returned, and after some time, the elderly Brahmin told his family that this was the pilgrimage and it was so nice, and there was this young Brahmin and he helped me in so many ways, and I've decided to give him my daughter in marriage because he was so kind and so helpful. And the family members they knew who it was, and they said, what is this? No way. The brother said, you're not marrying my sister to that guy. The mother said, I'll commit suicide if you go ahead with this. They browbeat him, basically. But he said, but I promised. Well, if the Brahmin comes and says that you promised, just say you don't remember. And I'll do the rest. So the young Brahmin came, said, sir, you'll remember that I we were on pilgrimage and you promised me your daughter, and the all the family members were there, and the pressure was on, and the father was feeling very bad, but he said, well, I don't really remember. And then the brother took it from there that this young Brahmin, when my father was on pilgrimage, he slipped him some knockout drops, gave him some sort of poison, and took his money, and now he's claiming that he's entitled to my sister, and he should just be beaten and get out of here, thrown out. So the young Brahmin called the it became a thing, you know, in a village, how it is. Everybody, as soon as there's some discord, everybody starts, what's going on? And the crowd gathers. So the crowd had gathered, and this scene was going on. And the Brahmin said, you did promise, and the deity is my witness. So the young Brahmin said, great, bring the deity. Bring your witness. You bring your witness, you can have my sister. And young Brahmin said, deal. The son was confident that this witness is not going to show up. And the young Brahmin was confident that he would. So he went back to Vrindavan and went to see the deity and said, sir, this is the problem. And you're the witness, so you have to come and testify. And the deity said, but I'm a deity. How do you expect me to go there? To walk all the way over there? And the Brahmin said, well, you may be a deity, but if you can talk, you can walk. The deity said, well, good argument. So, all right, I'll walk behind you, and you'll know I'm there because you'll hear my ankle bells, but don't look. If you turn around and look, then I won't go any further. That's it. So they started out, and the deity was walking behind, and the Brahmin was hearing the ankle bells, and he knew everything was all right. And they walked all the way to Orissa. And but as they were approaching the place, residence of this Brahmin, some villages away, suddenly he didn't hear the ankle bells anymore. So he became anxious that all this time I've been hearing the ankle bells, now I'm not hearing the ankle bells. Maybe the deity's not there anymore. Maybe the Lord isn't good. Maybe it's disappeared. Who knows what's happened? So he looked. And the deity stopped there. But it wasn't very far. Maybe the Brahmin was in Puri and the deity was not very far away. So the young Brahmin called the townspeople. My witness has come, my witness has come. And the town people came and saw, yeah, the witness is here. They all offered, they were astonished that the Lord was standing there, and they accepted that yes, the testimony is confirmed, and everything worked out nicely. The elderly Brahmin was very happy because he wanted, his purpose was that the Lord's word will be proven. My son is such a fool and a rascal, he's thinking that the deity is just stone, he can't do anything. So we'll show him something. And young Brahmin was very happy. He got the mercy of the deity and he got the girl. And the elderly Brahmin's word was kept, so the young Brahmin was happy about that. And the deity is still there. The place is called Sakshi Gopal. There's a village called Sakshi Gopal just outside of Puri. The Brahmins there are not as hospitable. They subscribe to the point of view of the Puri Pandavas that non-Hindus, which means anybody that they don't think is Hindu, should be prohibited from entering the temple. They should be received very nicely. They should be begged and harassed for donations, but they should not be permitted to enter the temple. So that's the quite different from Rimuna, where the Brahmins are very warm-hearted Vaishnavas. In Sakshi Gopal village, they have a different point of view. There's also a Gaudiya Math just next to the temple, just adjacent to the temple. There's a Gaudiya Math where it doesn't matter whether you're Hindu or non-Hindu. That was established during the time of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling separation from Lord Jagannath during the time when Lord Jagannath is hidden from view before the Rath Yatra festival, he sometimes went to Sakshi Gopal temple where he was expressing his feelings of separation from the Lord. All right. Do we have time for a question or two? Oh, we go till 9. Oh, it's a different story on Sundays. Okay. How about that? All right. Well, are there any questions so far? Otherwise, we'll read on. Mm-hmm.
Two questions. Once you mentioned that last time with Vishnudev and Parashuram, they were fighting. I've heard sometimes that this instruction from the spiritual master to marry is the only instruction from the spiritual master that you can refuse. Is that correct?
If the instruction to marry is the only instruction from the spiritual master that you can refuse, if you're Bhishmadev. Not that now everyone has a blanket license to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. That's one of the 10 offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. But if you're Bhishmadev, you can do these things. The point was not that marriage was the issue, that no, I won't marry because marriage is Maya. The point was that he'd made a vow. If he'd vowed to marry them and the spiritual master had said, don't marry them, he would have married them. The point wasn't marriage or no marriage. The point was vow or break the vow. Keep it or break it. It wasn't brahmacharya that was the issue. It was personal integrity. Breaking the vow is very serious. First thing is, one becomes dishonorable. And then one has to live with oneself. One has to know that I'm not what I was. I'm a person who breaks his vow. That's what I am. One has to live with it already. Others may know or not know. That's the kind of person that I am. I didn't keep my vow. Therefore, Arjuna, I didn't keep my vow. I'll enter the fire. The kings, I would rather die than break my vow. Breaking the vow is quite serious business. And in the public arena, a person who breaks his promise becomes dishonored. He promised to do this, but he didn't do it. He becomes, he loses his reputation. And what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Sampavitasya cha kirtir maranad atirichate. For a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. For a respectable person, dishonor is worse than death. A respectable person will feel that way. I'd rather die than become dishonorable. But the shameless person, he breaks his vow and becomes dishonored in the public. That's very serious business. Sampavitasya cha kirtir maranad atirichate. It's worse than death. Dishonor. One loses one's reputation. One loses one's credibility. What was Vasudev could get his wife spared on the credit of his word. He didn't have to offer any other collateral. Comes to new. Vasudev is promised. It's a deal. He was known that he's a man of his word. In business, there's, of course, now it's gradually going out of style. But among people of honor, just a handshake seals an agreement. And an honorable businessman, if he's shaking your hand on a deal, he won't go back on it. He may lose money. He may kick himself for making the agreement, but if he shook hands over the deal, he'll go through with it. You can depend on his word. Not that you had to have a battery of 472 lawyers drawing up a contract with 647 ways to slip out of it if you change your mind later. Men of integrity would shake hands, and that was a deal. And what happens if you break the deal? You become dishonored. There's a system, I understand, among, I believe it's the Korean community, one of the Oriental communities, maybe more than one. They immigrate to countries like America, and they're making a start. Usually they don't have much in the way of money. They're students and so on. But what happens is that the community members pool some portion of their earnings. They all pay something into the kitty. And periodically, the total savings is given to one of the members. And then that member can start a business, he can use it for his education, he can whatever it is that he needs to get a start, he receives that money and then he pays it back on schedule. And the system works because people honor their word. And if anyone doesn't honor his word, what is his standing thereafter in that community? He's finished. He's finished. Because it's a sacred agreement. So a person who breaks his word is, even the earth can't bear him. Mother Earth said that. I can bear the weight of anyone, but I can't take the, I can bear so many people, mountains I can bear, but I can't bear the weight of a liar. Even Mother Earth doesn't want to have anything to do with it. It's very serious business to break vows. One's reputation is gone. A sannyasi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said his preaching depends on his reputation. Sanyasira alpachitra sarvalokeka. If there's a small spot on the reputation of a sannyasi, everybody talks about it. There was some incident that one nice young boy was coming to visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and doing service, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was reciprocating, such a nice boy, giving him a lot of mercy. And Damodar Pandit came and said, "Oh, everyone's talking about this. Everyone's talking, what is this? No, everyone's talking. What talking about? This boy, you're giving him so much time and attention, and his mother is a widow, and she's very sundari, very beautiful and young, and everybody's talking about it. Now why is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being so nice to this boy?" And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered, "From now on, tell that boy not to come." Because the reputation has to be protected. A Brahmin, especially, is known for honesty. Rukmini entrusted her message to a Brahmin because Brahmins are honest. And the message for Krishna, she entrusted it to a Brahmin because Brahmins tell the truth. If you're not truthful, what does it mean that you're a Brahmin? If your word is adjustable, you sometimes keep it and you sometimes don't. What's the meaning of your being truthful? Truthful doesn't mean sometimes truthful when it's convenient, truthful when it's not too much trouble. Truthful means that if it's in your favor or if it's not in your favor, you tell the truth. That's truthful. Another thing that happens, once I break a vow, what happens after that? It's not such a big deal to break the next vow. So one marries and promises that my whole life I'll take care of this woman or the woman, my whole life I'll serve this man, and they make a vow. And then after some years, well, I don't really like him that much, I'm tired of her, whatever it is. I didn't know at the time, if only I'd known. I was young and inexperienced. I was pressured by my friends or my temple president, or I fell into Maya, or da 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 da, and then breaks it. And then it's not such a big deal then to get married again and break it again. Work the first time, it'll work again. So one becomes habitually dishonest. That tendency is there. Just like the person who blasphemes Vaishnavas. What's the fruit of his blaspheming Vaishnavas? He blasphemes them more. The example is there of what is that? Ramchandra Puri. He was critical of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the result was that he became more critical. He was criticizing, first he made the mistake, he criticized, corrected his own spiritual master. Then from that, it led to criticism of Vaishnavas, and from that, more criticism of Vaishnavas, more criticism, more criticism. Soon, none of the Vaishnavas wanted to have anything to do with him. When he finally left Puri, they were so relieved. At last, this guy is gone. He became worthless. Because the fruit of criticism of Vaishnavas is more criticism. Just like Prabhupada said, someone asked, what's the result of chanting? Prabhupada said, more chanting. Chanting will bring more chanting. So dishonor will bring more dishonor. Lying will bring more lying. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we, practice to deceive. You tell a lie and now you have to cover for yourself, so you tell another lie. You tell Richard Nixon. There's so many examples. Then they're disgraced. Integrity breeds more integrity. And from integrity comes trust. If I loan you money and you pay me back, what happens? I'll loan you money again because I trust you. Your bank, the more you borrow money from your bank, the higher they extend your credit ceiling. Right? More often you borrow, the more you borrow, and the more you pay it back on time, the more your credit rating is established. Yes, this person lives by his word. He makes a promise to pay, and he pays. And the person who doesn't, who's late in his payments, who they have to send a collection agency after, who splits the country rather than pay his bills, loses all his credit. Nobody will lend him money. He has to hire lawyers who'll get your credit rating back. But he becomes known. He's not a man of his word. He won't pay. So you lose your reputation. You lose trust. I tell you something in confidence, and you keep it confidential. And now I trust you more. I tell you something confidential, and you tell half the world. What happened to the trust that I had in you? It's out the window. I'm not going to tell you anything confidential again. Or you didn't tell half the world, you just told one person. Okay, that's it. It'll be a long time before I tell you anything again. So you lose your integrity is such valuable capital. Integrity is such valuable capital. If you toss out your integrity, where are you? Where are you with yourself? Where are you with others? If you made a promise before the deity, where are you with the deity? Our literature is full of examples of devotees of integrity, great souls of integrity, who, under the most painful conditions, stuck to their vows. And they're glorified. And those who break their vows, it's not very good. They lose their integrity, they lose their reputation, they lose the trust of others. They lose their strength. Because by following a vow, you get strength. We promised to chant 16 rounds a day. What happens? You become strong. You become spiritually strong. Just by, I may get a taste, I may not have a taste, I may like it, I may not like it, I may have too much to do or have nothing to do, but I made a promise. I have to chant 16 rounds a day because I promised I would chant 16 rounds a day. What happens? You get strength. Even if you chant the lousiest rounds, even if it's miserable chanting, just the fact that you made that vow and you stuck to it gives you strength. It gives you strength. Strength and integrity. Yes, this person made a vow and he stuck to it. Others will see, and you'll also, others may see or not see, but you'll have strength, yes. Yeah. I made a promise and I've stuck to it. And if I break that vow, I sometimes chant, I sometimes don't, what happens? I become weak. First of all, I become weak because I'm not chanting, but I also become weak because I've broken my vow. I'm not sticking to my word. And then it becomes a routine thing. Well, time we start talking to ourselves and saying how well under the circumstances and given how much I have to do or given how tough it is or given that I was only 17 when I made this promise or given this or given that, it's understandable, da 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 da, and better for me to chant 4 rounds sincerely than 16 rounds mechanically. And one story or another story or another story or another story. And what does it mean? It means we've become weak. It means we've become weak. And what happens when you become weak? Tendencies to become more weak. So it's so important. We see that people follow, they adopt a vow for a codicil, or they vow this vow or that vow. Why? Become strong. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, he didn't care if one is sannyasi, householder, whatever. Who was that? Shivananda Sen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that his wife was pregnant, so he gave a nice, auspicious name for the child. So he had equanimity toward householders, sannyasis. But he was very strict with those who, as Prabhupada put it, follow the practice of drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. The idea is that one takes a vow that because today is a fast day, I'll fast even from water. He takes a vow. I won't eat, I won't drink. But then while he's underwater taking his bath, he drinks. Because no one will see while he's underwater. So to the world, he's following this vow, but while he's underwater, he's breaking it. So Prabhupada said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very strict with those who follow this line of drinking water underwater while taking the bath. It doesn't mean just doing that, but it means breaking their vow when no one will see. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's how Junior Haridas lost the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He broke his vow. Well, vows should be taken very seriously or not taken at all. There's no use making a vow that you're not going to follow, worse than useless, if you're not going to follow. So I don't think I can follow that. Not ready to do that, not prepared to do that, not willing to do that. Too much for me. No deal. Okay. Even that will be appreciated. Yes, he's a man of integrity. We asked him to promise this, and he admitted, I cannot do this. Again, he'll be, yes, he was honest. Rather than just to get a name or to get status, promise something and not follow, he admitted, no, I can't do it. All right. He can't do it, but he's a man of integrity. That will be honored. Yes, he was honest. No, I can't do this. A judge, when there's some conflict of interest, the judge stands back and says, no, there's a conflict of interest here. This person is my relative, or I served as his attorney, or whatever it is. And what does everybody say? Yes, honest judge. And if he says, well, I was only his attorney for a month or two, or he's really only a second cousin, or this or that, everybody says, yeah, yeah. when we live strictly according to principles of integrity, we gain strength, we gain trust of others, our reputation for honesty grows. That means we get potency. When you speak, others know here's a man of honesty and integrity. Therefore, the politicians always say, vote for such and such, a man of honesty and integrity. And everybody says, bah. But if there really is a man of honesty and integrity, everybody will vote for him. This person has integrity. So important. And Krishna will appreciate it. Yes, this is a truthful person. Nirmatsuranam satam vedyam vastiva. This Vedic literature, this Srimad Bhagavatam, is meant for satam. What is satam? Satam means ultimately the devotees. But sat means different things. Sat means, of course, the eternal. But sat means the truth. The truthful devotees who are 100% pure in heart. But truth ultimately means that one is dedicated to Krishna, the absolute truth. But it also means that we're truthful. That's one of the qualities of a devotee, straightforward in ordinary dealings. Not crooked. What is that in? It's also there among the items of knowledge. Simplicity. Simplicity doesn't mean simple living, as some people would like to have it. Simplicity means no duplicity. That's how Prabhupada defines it. What's the word in the list there? Shmanta Maha. Anyway, it's not so crucial. But simplicity, Prabhupada defines in several places as no duplicity. That kind of simplicity. That's one of the characteristics of the devotee. Simplicity. Prabhupada explained that simplicity means that he'll tell the truth even to an enemy. He'll tell the truth. He's a man of the truth. But yes, it means ultimately a man of the absolute truth, Krishna's man. But it's also, yes?
Arjava.
Arjava, yes. Arjava. Arjava means straightforwardness. No duplicity, simplicity. So, it's a characteristic of a devotee that's expected to develop. Yes, yasti bhaktir bhagavad jikinshana sirvayarvanaya stetrasamasate suda. One who's a devotee of Krishna develops all the qualities of the demigods. So this is one of them. You can depend on his word, not that he's always got something that he's thinking and he's scheming and he's telling you one thing but it's really another thing because politically or socially or some way or other it's to his advantage, so he's bobbing and weaving and no. Flat out, he'll just tell you this is the truth. And when he tells you, you can believe it because he's honest. He's a man of his word. He's a man of integrity. So that we can learn from Vedic literature, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the Puranas, from the Bhajanas, so many examples are there, that a man of integrity gives his word and keeps to his word. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Can I get a copy of that? I'll bring my computer later. Cool.